Friends, tonight I'm turning to 2 Kings chapter 2. And our title for this evening is Reward for Faithfulness. Reward for Faithfulness. And this is the lesson that we are going to take from 2 Kings chapter 2. Just as we read, just before the Lord took Elijah up to heaven in a windstorm, Elijah and Elisha were traveling to Gilgal. Elijah told Elisha, "Tarry here, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thou livest, I will not leave thee." Friends, we are going to see a tremendous amount of faithfulness shown by these two people, and how God rewarded them, how God openly showed that they pleased him. There are only two people in the Bible who never tasted death: Elijah and Enoch. And both of them, if you look at their work with God, they showed an amount of faithfulness to God, and God was pleased with them. And as Christians, that is what we need. We need faithfulness. Faithfulness is required in our work with the Lord. Without faithfulness, the Lord can never use us. Because as we are going to see later on, Elijah, before this day, had served the Lord. The Lord had used him to do so many things in the midst of suffering, not in the midst of joy. Because there was a time Elijah asked God to kill him. So you can imagine what he was going through. And yet, in all of this, he stood firm and then was faithful to the Lord. And these are the lessons that we must learn as Christians, that we continue to be faithful to the Lord. So they went down to Bethel, and then the sons of the prophets, as they are saying here, some people are saying that they were schooled for prophets and all these. But here he says sons of the prophets. I think it was to do with some prophets under Elijah, or prophets who were there, younger ones, as at that time. And then they said unto Elisha, he said, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy matter from thy head today?" From thy head, as if like the God is going to take your protection from you today. Because Elijah obviously was the protector for Elijah. He was his assistant. So if your matter is going, then it's supposed to be a very serious blow. And then he said, "Yeah, I know. Hold ye your peace." And then another time Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And here, and the sons of the prophets again, that were in Jericho, came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And then, for the third time, Elijah said to him, "Tarry here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he replied again, "As the Lord liveth, and as thou so livest, I will not leave thee." And they went on. So you see here, for the fact that they were going to these three places, and wherever they went, there were sons of the prophets waiting for them, it looks as if Elijah was trying to, because he knows God is going to take him to heaven, but before he goes, he wanted to be with these people, these people who were under him, either to strengthen them or to guide them or whatever it is. And in all of them, he told Elisha to wait for him while he goes there. Why do we think that he told him to wait for him? They have been together. They were working together from Gilgal. Why is it that when they were going to Bethel and Jericho, and so he said he should tarry here, he should wait and let him come? I think he was testing his faith. Because if you look at the answer, when he asked him what he should give to him, you can see that he was either testing his faith, or he didn't want him to also see what is going to happen, so that he will feel very bad. It could be either. But then, the fact that Elisha decided never to leave him. And Elijah told him that if you see me going, if you see me, then you can get whatever you ask me for. And to see somebody means you have to be closer to the person. Otherwise, you won't see him going. If he had tarried there and Elijah had gone and the whirlwind had come to take him, he wouldn't have seen him. And he wouldn't have gotten access to the mantle, which he used when he also became like the chief prophet. So it's here we see an amount of faithfulness in these two men. Elijah was faithful to God. God wanted the people to know that he's pleased with the life of Elijah. Elisha was also faithful to Elijah. So wherever he went, he was with him. Even when he insisted that he should stay and wait for him, he was still going with him. So let's go on. And they went, and they two went on, and the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they stood by Jordan. And then Elijah took his mantle and wrapped together. See, he saw all these things that was happening, and wrapped together and smote the waters, and they were divided, Tita, so that the two went over on dry ground. The same thing that happened at the Red Sea. Now Elijah used his mantle to hit the river, and it was divided into two for them to go through. And then it came to pass when they were gone over, then Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." See, here he's asking, "What do you want me to do for you before God takes me away?" And Elijah said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And you see, this spirit that he's talking about, it's not like he was a rich person. It was full of suffering. Like I said before in 1 Kings, he had asked God when Jezebel wanted to kill him. He was going through so many problems, he wanted to die. And yet Elijah is saying that, "I want a double portion of your spirit," because he has been with him. He has seen all these things. And then he said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked. See, they were still going on and talking. He had asked him to ask for whatever he wants. He's asking for a double portion of his spirit that was working in him. Now, as they were working on, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. As they were talking, now it happened. The whirlwind came to envelop Elijah, took him away. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Then he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. See, because he was closer to him, the mantle fell, and he saw it and then took it. That's what I'm talking about. Faithfulness. You have to be faithful with God. If you want to work with God, you have to be faithful. So he was faithful to Elijah, and therefore, when the mantle fell, he took it. And then he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, departed Sisera and Tisha, and Elijah went over. See, the same thing that Elijah did, now he's able to do it, because the double portion of spirit he has for has now come to him. So he used the mantle, and in the same way he hit the waters, and it was open for him to pass through. And Elijah went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, this same 50 sons of the prophets were there watching. Remember, they went to stand afar to see what was going to happen. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground, because now they are seeing him as their new leader. He has taken the mantle of Elijah. So the son of the prophet now bowed themselves to him, and they said unto him, "Behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee." Now you see that thy servants, He said, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Now they are calling themselves his servants. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or the same or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, till he got fed up with them, then he said, send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto thee, go not? So you see, now Elijah is gone. The request of Elijah has been granted. Now he has the power, he has the spirit of Elijah. Now here, like I said, Elijah is one of 2 people in scriptures that never tasted death. I don't know anyhow God can show his pleasure over a human being than for him not to see death. I think everybody fears death. Elijah never saw death. The same person who prayed that God should let him die, he never tasted death. And he was taken to heaven in the same way as Enoch. And both of them walked with God and had an intimate relationship with God. They were very close to God. They were very faithful to God. And both live in a time of great rebellion. Like I was saying, they live in times of... This prophet, Elijah, he lived at a time when there was rebellion against God. The same with Enoch. With Enoch, the children of Adam had rebelled against God. That led to the flood in those days. And Elijah is also the same. He lived in a time when King Ahab, the worst king that ever led in Israel history, up to that point, he was ruling on the throne, and then he led them to worship idols. That was the time of Elijah. So you see that all these people were very faithful to God at times when there was rebellion, when the whole nation had rebelled against God, and they stood on their grounds, and they were very faithful to God. And both of them were prophets in those generations. And Jude tells us that Enoch prophesied about the second coming of Christ before the first coming. That's in Jude chapter 1, verse 14. He said he prophesied about the coming of Christ. And no doubt, God threw this man away in a spectacular fashion, as I've said. And why did he do that? In part, to be a witness to the wicked generation. God did this thing for them, the wicked generation, to see that they are those 2 men. Now we are talking about Elijah. For them to see that Elijah was a righteous person and also a faithful person. And now this is a clear confirmation from God that they were righteous. God has taken them to heaven. And God did it so that at least they will repent. Remember when Elijah at one point said that they have killed all your prophets, I'm the only one left. God said, I have 7,000 men that have not bowed down to Baal. So God has a way of preserving his people. And this is also another picture. You know, when Christ comes, according to the scriptures, those who are dead will come back to life. Those who will not be dead at that time will be changed within the twinkle of an eye. It's not the same thing like what is happening to Elijah. Will be changed and taken to heaven, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. And this will also confirm before the world who rejected them and their ways. And the same thing is going to happen to us if we also continue to be faithful to God. On the last day, this will show that we have been faithful men before God. So, as I said earlier on, in this narrative, Elijah and they travel to various places where these 50 prophets, young prophets are, and to encourage them before Elijah is taken to heaven. And at each place, Elijah tries to encourage Elijah to stay behind. Maybe he did not want him to experience the trauma, as I've already said, Or, in a way, he was also trying to test his faithfulness. Or maybe, you know, Elijah, and like most of God's people, were very humble people. They didn't want it also to be like a spectacle that God is trying to display his power. So he wanted the whole thing. These are all speculations that he was telling Elijah to stay away, or simply trying to test his commitment. I go for the last one, that he was trying to test. That is why he said, if you see me going, because to see him means you must be closer to him. So I think he was testing his commitment. And then when he asked for the request, Elijah recognized that this is a very big request that you have asked. But then, if you are able to see me going, then it will happen as you are asking for. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25 and read from verses 14 to 30. Chapter 25 and from verse 14. Let's start from 13. Say, what therefore? For ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went out and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his lost money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gave me 5 talents more. He told it, and then his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And you see how he welcomed this man. If you go on to the other person who did not have anything, he will tell him, here he says, a faithful servant. And because of what he has done, he says, faithful servant. And the others, he will call them wicked and lazy servants. So, what are you doing with the talent that God has given you? What are you doing? How faithful are you to God, to your church, to people in your society? So, here we are seeing that it requires faithfulness to be able to walk with the Lord. One day, our works will be evaluated by God, and we will receive rewards or loss of rewards. As I have already said, Christ said, good and faithful servant, welcome, well done, go to your master. And then the other one, he will say, wicked and lazy servant. So it is very, very important for us to consider what are the marks of a faithful servant. When we see somebody is faithful, what are the marks of that person? Here in 2 Kings chapter 2, as I said, God publicly affirms Elijah and his ministry by taking him to heaven without him dying. Now, so a mark of a faithful servant is trusting God, trusting in God's plans, even when encountering the delays or disappointments or unanswered prayers. This is the mark of a faithful servant. When you trust God and His plan, regardless of whatever happens, whether there are these delays or this discouragement and so on, you continue to trust God. This afternoon, we're teaching our Sunday school students about the faithfulness of Abraham. Right from when he was called from the air of the Chaldees, he had to leave his family and go to where he did not know where God was taking him to. But he trusted God. The same person, after he had trusted God, God was asking him to kill his son. Because of the trust he had for God, he knew that even if God should kill my son, God is able to raise him up again. And therefore, I will do whatever God wants me to do. And that is exactly the example for us here. If you are working with God, regardless of whatever happened to you, whether there are delays or not, you have to still be faithful to God, especially in His service. It is clear that Elijah and Elijah, they knew God was going to take Elijah home in a miraculous way. They all knew. And this, like I said, must remind us that before then, Elijah asked God, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, if you read it, you see that he asked God to let him die because of the threat of Jezebel. Now, if God had allowed him to die, how were you going to see this secular and dramatic thing that happened? So you see that God has a way of doing things. God denied his prayer at that time, but now I'm sure we all can see that there was a reason for God denying his prayer or keeping him waiting, delaying the prayers or whatever. There was a reason. In this account, there's a man called F.D. Meyer. He was a Baptist preacher in England. Let's see what he said about this Elijah's prayer that was denied. He said, "We shall have to bless God forever more for the prayers he refused than for those he granted. We shall have to bless God forever more for the prayers he refused than for those that he granted. When next your request is denied, reflect that it may be because God is preparing something for you as much better than your request." As, like I said, the translation of Elijah confirmed that God has something better to do for him. In the case of Abraham, even though Abraham thought that God would be able to raise his son back when he died, God had another plan of providing a ram and teaching him a lesson, you see, of what is going to happen through Isaac up to the time that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes. So to trust God's plans, we must remember God's character and his promises. Remember in Romans chapter 8 verse 28, he says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that fear God, to them who are the called, and who are the called according to his purpose." So you see, in whatever situation you are as a Christian, in your walk with God, you have to trust him and know who he is, his character and his promises. Also in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, God originally said this to Israel, who were stuck in exile. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." See, they were in exile, and yet God was telling them that I know my plans for you. Even you being in exile is part of my plan to do something better for you. So no matter your situation, whatever prayers you are praying to God for, if it hasn't come, never try to be unfaithful. Be faithful to God. Stay closer to God, and God will answer you in a better way than what you are asking for. So to remember God's character and promises, especially in times of disappointment or in times of tribulation, we need to live in God's way. We need to read His word all the time, because His promises are in His word. By reading, studying, quoting, and praying it, that's how to live closer to God as a Christian. And as you do this, God will give us His peace as we trust Him and wait on Him. In Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3, it says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee." See, God's plans are good even when they don't seem to be. they are always good. So no matter what you are going through, no matter what you are asking God for, if it hasn't come, continue to be faithful to God. Getting closer to Him, applying the means of grace, reading your scriptures, serving Him, praying, and God will let you know why He kept you waiting. And also to trust in God, friends, we must in faith give thanks to God and rejoice in the good that He will accomplish through our disappointment. God will do that for us even when we are disappointed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And in James chapter 1 verse 2 to 3 says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Then 5 verse 6 to 4 says, not only this, but we also rejoice in suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. See, there's one thing I've always asked myself. If the beginning from Abraham and Sarah and Isaac, why did God close their wombs? Almost all of them, their wives. And these are men who trusted in God. And yet, God had to close their womb for a while. And then, when He is ready, at a time that it was impossible for the woman to give birth, that's when He brought Isaac. The same thing happened to Isaac and his wife, and so many of them. God does that to them. And why does God do that? God first tests our faith. Secondly, so that, well, this is from my own, so that you take very good care of the child that He gives you. Because I remember this afternoon, I was telling my boys that I'm sure when Abraham and Sarah had Isaac, because of their ages, they will pamper the child, they will take very good care of the child and all those things. But who knows? I'm just saying that maybe God does that for our own sake. Remember, Israel complained in the wilderness, which led to God's discipline. When you are going through those circumstances, the last thing to do is to murmur or to blame God. Because God has shown us that people murmured and God had to discipline them. So as we consider the outcome of Elijah's life, we must learn to trust God's plan, especially when encountering various disappointments. So the question is, in what way have you experienced disappointments or delays and seemingly unanswered prayers which God used for your good? How can we maintain and increase our faith in the midst of what seems like a disappointment? How can we do that when we feel that we are being disappointed? These are where you see the mark of a true servant. And the first thing is humility. You have to be humble. You see, God does so many things to humble us. Even Paul, he said that God had to humble him because of the revelations that he saw. God had to humble him by letting the devil torture him. So another thing we learn from this narrative is the fact that though Elijah knew that God was going to take him to heaven, he never publicly shared it with anybody. Even he was trying to hide it from his own servant, Elisha. That's humility. You see, he had all those qualities in him, and we also must have them in us. And in Elijah's quietness about this great honor of being taken to heaven, it stands out, isn't it? Think of how people would react to experiencing, if it was in our day, let's think of what would happen. Would they not share it with all their friends in social media and all those things? This is what God is going to do. We are even seeing it in our day, the so-called prophets. They have times when they can tell people to come and see miracles. You know, miracle hour, miracle day, miracle feast, a whole lot of things. So if you know something is going to happen, how can you call it a miracle? It can't be a miracle. So you see that this man, he knew for him that even God revealed to him, he kept it to himself. He never told anybody. And F.B. Myers, the same man, said something about this. He said, Elijah, anyone less great would have let the secret out or have contrived to line the heights of the Jordan with a certain crowd of witnesses. But instead, of this, he kept the city well. No doubt, it was Elijah's great humility that led to his great exaltation. It is his humility that led to his great exaltation. Humble yourself before God, and God will exalt you. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So you see, the first mark of a faithful servant is humility. For many of us, maybe because of pride, God cannot exalt us, because it will prompt us and lead us to our fall. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So you see, humility is one of the marks that we see from Elijah. Now, how can we grow in humility? How can we practice humility in the midst of discipline, or in the midst of disappointment or delays in God's answer? Certainly, our best example is Christ. He is our best example and teacher. In Matthew 11, verse 29, he called himself gentle and humble in heart. He said himself that he is humble in heart. And in Matthew chapter 6, Christ taught that as a discipline, we must practice our righteousness in secret, not seeking to share it publicly. So when giving, we should not blow a trumpet. That's what Christ was saying in verses 2 to 3. When praying, we should not pray where people will see us. We should do everything in secret and in humility, and God will reward us. Also, to grow in humility, we must practice the discipline of intimacy with the Lord. To be humble, you must have intimacy with the Lord. Our Lord and Savior, in the same verse, said, take my yoke on you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. See, that's what Christ told us. So as we abide in Christ, he is teaching us how to be gentle and humble like him, humbly putting others before ourselves and seeking to exalt God's name instead of our own name. This all comes from abiding in Christ. So if you want to be humble, you have to abide in Christ. Say, if you abide in me, and I abide in you. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Christ said to abide in him, and he will produce much fruit. He said, apart from him, we can do nothing. In fact, it is true. One of the fruits of the Spirit is humility, according to Galatians 5, verses 16 to 23, when he was giving the fruits of the Spirit. The gentleness there is humility. Very humble people. So a mark of a faithful servant is humility, even as a mark of unfaithfulness is pride. So Paul makes it, pride makes us weak, to glorify ourselves instead of glorifying our Lord. So what are the fruits and the consequences of pride in a person's life? What is humility? And why is it so important for the Christian life? How is God calling you to pursue greater humility in your serving him and others? The first thing is that you must pray daring prayers. Daring, D-A-R-I-N-G, daring prayers. See, when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elijah, what can I do for you? And before I'm taken away from you, Elijah said, may I receive a double portion of the spirit that is in you. Whatever energizes you, I want a double. He didn't even pray for sale. He prayed for double. And Elijah said, this is a difficult request. Then if you see me, so you must pray daring prayers. Ask big things. As people say, dream big. But we don't talk about dreaming, just dreaming big. Ask God, because God is the omniscient, the omnipotent God. He has power over everything. Ask him daring things, and he will give you. Because he told him that I want a double portion of yours. And he said, okay, if you want a double portion, then the condition is that you must see me when I'm taken away, which is faithfulness, humility, you know. So all those things are things that we need. Because he told him that it's a difficult question. But then if he sees him going, he will give him. So we see that Elijah's request was not Elijah. It was a very, very, very serious and daring prayer. And then he had it. He prayed for something big and he had it. Because he was humble and he was faithful. In fact, in James chapter 5, 16 to 18, James tells every believer to pray for the healing of others. In part, why did he say that? Because Elijah was a regular person like us, and yet he prayed for it, for it not to rain, and it didn't rain, and he prayed for it again, and it did rain. You see, so, and he's a man like us. We must pray daring prayers if we really, really want to be faithful and see the powers of God in our life. So you see that throughout Elijah's ministry, he was willing to ask God for bold requests. Remember asking God to stop the rain, and then asking God to rain. Something that I don't think any human being can ask. But he asked, and it happened. He not only prayed for rain and for it not to rain, he prayed for the first resurrection of in the Bible, when Elijah will later duplicate 1 Kings chapter 17, 19 to 23, and 2 Kings 4, verse 32 to 37. Elijah prayed for fire to come down from heaven 3 times, and each time God listened to him. So you see, you pray for daring, you have to have daring prayer. Pray for something big, and God will give you. Remember, he also split the Jordan River so that they could walk through, the same way as Moses did when they were crossing the Red Sea. So likewise, if we are going to be faithful servants, we must also be a people of prayer, including praying for daring requests. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, God said, I sought for a man from among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, so that I will not destroy it. But I found none. See, God was looking for men of prayer to come and pray for him, because God always wants to accomplish his things through our prayer. And he said he found none. Nobody was bold enough to come and pray. And James chapter 4 verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. How many miracles do we miss out simply because we don't talk or we don't persevere in seeking? Remember when Elijah prayed for the rain, it didn't rain the first time. He prayed 7 times and then eventually it rained. First Kings chapter 18 verse 42 to 45. You see, so you pray and you keep on praying, knowing that God, there's nothing beyond God, but you must be faithful to him. You must be humble in your approach to him. And James is saying that we don't have because we don't ask. See, God seeks to find men and women who will stand in the gap and pray. Men who will be prayerful. Because God has displayed the power of prayer in so many areas. Remember the prayers when the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites, and when they lifted his hand up, they were winning. When their hands came down, they were losing. All those things are signs that prayers are powerful. If you pray, God will also answer you. So let's also see another mark of a faithful servant. It's also fighting and suffering hardships for Christ. Fighting and suffering hardships for Christ. Because Christ has said that, remember, in this world you have tribulation, but be courageous, because I've conquered the world. So you see, as they were walking and talking, suddenly the fire pulled up and fiery horses came between them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a way we have read that already. See how Elijah and Elisha were split by a fiery chariot with horses, and then Elijah was taken to heaven. Let's see what L.B. Meyer said about Elijah's proclamation. He said that it is clear that the chariot and horsemen were instruments of war, and God was giving Elijah a war hero's welcome home. He had been a faithful soldier and was going home to his reward. And this reminds us of Elijah's life, though successful, was not easy at all. He also went through, as I've already said, he went through a whole lot of things. So he lived in a world where he was a pilgrim, and that's what we are. We are pilgrims, an outcast. While most of Israel worshipped Baal, he remained faithful to the true God. He rebuilt the king and the Israelites, 1 Kings chapter 17. He also lived in quarantine for 3.5 years, first by himself and then by a group side. So you see, he suffered so many things, and he was doing it for God. So we too must suffer for Christ. In our walk with Christ, in our witnessing, we must expect that it won't be easy for us. You know, how can Jezebel threaten God's holy man, Elijah, and for him to run away and hide somewhere, and sometimes being fed by birds? He went through all this, and God allowed him to go through. That is how to fight for the life. So Elijah's life was also a life that every faithful servant must also be prepared. So being a faithful servant does not mean ease. In fact, it often comes with hardships and suffering. You will suffer, but God has promised that He will be with us and take us out of our suffering. So, friends, in conclusion, let me remind you again about the mark of a faithful servant. When we see somebody is faithful, what are the marks? What do you see in the person to prove that the person is faithful? First, is trusting God's plan, even when encountering delays and disappointments and unanswered prayers. Continue to trust God if you are faithful. The second thing is humility. As we have said, be humble in your approach to God, in your dealings with God. Be humble. And then pray daring prayers. Ask for big requests, because God will want to show His powers through us. Another mark of a faithful servant is fighting and suffering hardships for Christ. In our times, especially in our part of the country, we don't face serious persecution. But then what are you doing? What are you doing to win souls for God? Is it a priority in your life that you always pray to God to give opportunity to witness for Christ and to teach people the gospel of Jesus, especially in our day, when the gospel is so watered down, when people are being deceived, when people are just taking advantage of people? What are you doing? How are you fighting for Christ? These are the things that we need to do in fighting and suffering for Christ. So we must pray for God to increase our faith so that we can trust Him when encountering these delays and disappointments and unanswered prayers. Let us also pray for God to deliver us from pride and then independence from Him and His body. Let's pray. All these things cannot come by themselves. You have to pray for God to increase our faith so that we can trust in Him even when things are not going well for us. Secondly, we have to pray for God to deliver us from pride and then independence, not trusting and relying on Him, and that He will give us grace to be humble. For God blesses the humble, as we read in the Proverbs, and fight against the proud. Let's also pray for God to give us grace to pray daring prayers. As I've already said, all these things come by grace. Let's pray for grace that we can pray for things, incredible things, things that the people in this world cannot pray for. Let's pray for, because we have God for us. Let's intercede for others, our churches, our nations, and God will move mightily because of our prayers. God will move mightily, as He moved mightily because of Elijah's prayers. Let's also pray to God to give us courage and grace to stand and to fight and suffer for the kingdom, as we also serve others. So friends, these are the marks of a faithful servant. Like I said, faithfulness is required in our walk with God. Without faithfulness, we will never be pleased. God will never be pleased with us. And as God showed that He was pleased in the life of Elijah, and publicly He took him to heaven without him seeing them. I hope this will be a lesson to us, and my prayer is that we learn from this example and grow in grace, in knowledge, and understanding of the Word of God.